Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Most Free. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
The good news of Jesus Christ is that we are forgiven for our sins, we are redeemed by His blood, and we are made friends, children of God. Let us pray our prayer of confession together. Almighty God, ruler of all peoples of the earth, forgive, we pray, our shortcomings as a people and a nation. Purify our hearts to see and love truth. Give wisdom to our leaders and steadfastness to our people. Bring us at last to the fair city of peace, whose foundations are mercy, justice, and goodwill, and whose builder and maker you are, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we now humbly pray. Let us confess in silence. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much more fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Please stand as we confess our faith together as found in the Apostles' Creed. And it begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Let us listen to God's word. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the earth water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is taken from the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in one single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of the day and for the privilege of worship. And now as we come into this time, we pray that the words of my mouth and that the reflections of our own hearts this day and what we carry out from this place this day might bring honor and glory to you. For it is you and you alone we desire to please, and that through Christ our Lord. Amen. When God delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, he did the most unusual, unexpected, counterintuitive thing. He gave them a set of laws, 10 of them to be exact, that he expected them then to live by. After 400 years in bondage, rather than saying, well, there you are, now you're free, go and do as you please, to the contrary, he said, you will be most free. Not if you do what you want, but if you do as I want. Not if you live as you please, but if you live as I desire for you to live. These 10 laws he gave, the rules for kingdom living, were not intended to bind them, to constrict them, but rather to set them free, truly free. Which makes us wonder, how is it that laws, rules, regulations, boundaries can do that for us? That's really the question I'd like to address with you this morning, but it's also the question that I will encourage you to continue to think about throughout the day, through the week, through the month, through the living of our lives, today as a nation, but certainly for each of us as followers of Jesus. You see, we think to ourselves, we are most free when we get to do whatever we want, when we can live as we please, when we can be masters or matrons of our own destinies. But God says, no, you will be most free when you remember that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. We are most free when we know who we are and whose we are. We're most free when we understand that our relationship with Him before any others is what forms our identity as children of God, which means we don't need to go seeking after others, nor trying to find our identity in any other kinds of relationships. He says we are most free when we remember that God is God, and we are not. Nor are any of the things that we make with our own hands that enamor us so. There are so many gods, all with a lowercase g, mostly of our own making, that then call for our attention or demand our allegiance. But in Him and in Him alone we belong, and there is no other. So don't worship anything that you have made with your own hands. We're most free when we're mindful not to take the name of the Lord's God in vain, to speak it wrongly, to speak it casually, to speak it without meaning. Imagine for a moment that your name was Joe Biden. Not the Joe Biden, not President Joe Biden, just Joe Biden. Imagine how interesting and how unsettling it would be for you if you heard your name mentioned daily, hourly. You always heard your name being mentioned about what you said, where you went, what you had for lunch. My guess is at first your ears would perk up and you'd listen to your name being mentioned in this way, but after a while, you'd kind of tune out listening to your name. Kind of like folks who live by the railroad tracks who never now hear the train going by. So be mindful of the way you use the name of the Lord, saying, oh my God, this, and oh my God, that. Not speaking to God, not even speaking about God, just using his name casually, wrongly, without meaning. Don't misuse the name of the Lord, lest he won't know whether you're cursing or praying. And remember, when you use the name of the Lord, you're speaking the name of your heavenly Father, and you're speaking as one of his children. We are most free when we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It is very appropriate that we are in worship on this July 4th. We are not beasts of burden, nor are we machines designed to work all day, all of the time. Rather, we are children. We are children of God, created in the image of God, designed and intended to imitate our Creator, who himself took a day off in the creation, a day for rest, a day for re-creation. So we are most free when we take some time, at least a day a week, for our time to enjoy being in the presence of the Lord and to find rest and recreation for ourselves. We're most free when we honor our mothers and fathers, those who have born us and raised us and cared and provided for us long before we knew them or what they were doing for us or how much they loved us. They were acting in a very human way, the part of God, taking part in caring for us in this way. And so we give them honor and respect they deserve. Were they perfect in doing so? No. There is only one who is perfect, and that is God alone. But neither are any of us in our raising of our children, are we? And so we set them free, and we set ourselves free in some way when we honor them with our respect and, as necessary, our forgiveness and our understanding, even as we hope to be honored by our children with respect and forgiveness and understanding. We are most free when we respect the gift of life, a life which God has given to us, all of life, your life, my life, everyone's life as well. So we should not murder. Every person we meet is a child of God, loved and created in the image of God. As precious as is the newborn baby, so in the sight of God is the aged and the infirmed and the disabled and the disadvantaged. You know, in recent months, maybe years, there's been great debate and discussion and division as to which lives matter. Is it blue lives? Is it black lives? Is it all lives? There should be no question among us. There should be no debate among us that all lives do in fact matter. But sometimes we need to be reminded that certain lives, certain individuals need to be loved or honored or respected in ways that perhaps they have not been before, in ways that are more just or more fair or more loving simply because they need to be. Like the mother who was asked which of her children she loved the most. She answered very honestly, I love all my children equally. But when pressed, she said, I love the one who is hurting. I love the one who is ill or who needs to know that they are loved. And it's not always the same one every time. We are most free when we remember that all of life is sacred and to be honored. We are most free when we remember what belongs to us and what does not. What is ours to take and use, and what is not ours to take and use. What is in bounds and what is out of bounds. And so we should not commit adultery and we should not steal. Those things do not belong to us. They belong to someone else. We should not covet or be envious of what belongs to our neighbors, nor should we ever bear false witness or tell untruths about anyone else, because when we do that, what we're doing is we're taking away their honor, their dignity, their respect, their integrity. So when called upon to do so, we are to tell the truth. But we're not to make up with our mouths what we did not see with our eyes or hear with our ears. Now, we are most free when we protect the honor of another, just as we would hope they would protect our honor. So can you see how, as children of God, set free by this gracious act of deliverance, we are most free when we live within the boundaries that God has established for us? When the people first heard these words of the Lord, they were frightened, they were terrified. They thought, hey, wait a minute, we thought being free meant that we could do whatever we wanted, and now God is giving us this list of things that we have to do? That hardly seems right. But I can only imagine the Lord smiling to himself, if in fact the Lord smiles to himself like I think the Lord may smile to himself, saying, if you do what I tell you to do and live as I intend you to live, I promise you, you will be more free than you could ever imagine. But if you do not, you will simply be putting yourselves back into a bondage of your own making and disobedience. In his letter to the Galatians, considered to be the Magna Carta of Christian freedom, Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And then he goes on to define what he means by freedom. And it is not the mistaken notion that we often have that we can do as we please. Rather, he writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom for self-indulgence." That's our definition of freedom. "But rather, through love, become slaves to one another, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." What Paul is saying is there is no way we can talk about Christian freedom without at the same time talking about the command to love and to serve. The whole law is summed up in these. Paradoxical as it may sound, true freedom is not autonomy. It is not independence, but rather it is being liberated from the false gods of our own making in order to love and serve not only the God who made us, but our neighbors as ourselves. Recall when Moses went to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go," he didn't say so that we can just be free from the bondage of slavery. He said so that we can worship the God who made us. And when Jesus was asked to summarize the law, he said, "It is this, you shall love the Lord your God with all that you are and your neighbor as yourself." All of the rest of it is just commentary. What this means is, we are most free, not when we want to do what we want to do or live the lives as we want to live them, but when we do what God wants us to do and live as God intends us and designed us to live. The rules that he gives to us are not intended to hold us captive, but to set us free. And we are most free when we live within the boundary of his great love for us. I'm sure you've heard this illustration before, but it is apt for us. Years ago, there was a study conducted where the researchers took a group of children, took them out to a large, wide open field, great expanse, and told them they could play wherever they wanted. The children huddled together near the center of the field and never left one another's side. In a subsequent way, they took another group of children, took them again to a large open field, but this field had a perimeter fence around it. And curiously, the children saw that enclosure not as a threat, but as safety, not as limiting, but as freeing. And they spread out, and they played in the entirety of it. We have a mistaken notion of what it means to be free if we think it means anything goes. That's not freedom. That's not freedom in its purest sense, not knowing who we are or whose we are, where we belong or where we don't, what our purpose and responsibility is. That's not freedom. To the contrary, we are most free when we know who we are and whose we are, when we know where we belong and to whom we belong, when we know what our purpose and destiny is, when we know what our responsibility is, both to God and to neighbor. We are most free when we live as God has designed and desired us to live. For it is freedom such as this that Christ has set us free. And friends, this is the good news. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you have loved us enough to set us free, not to our own way, but to live as you desire us to live. You've given us your law of grace, that we are to love you and we are to love our neighbors. And as we do so, we realize that this is indeed the way we can live most freely. So, Lord, may we be committed to that, even as we are committed to you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. We have two identical worship services that you can attend, one at 9 a.m. and one at 11. We ask that you socially distance and wear a mask. The services are also live streamed. For information on the services and the streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.